Welcome to the podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, hello, friends, and welcome to our podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church. I am D.A. Bennett, and I am so glad to be here. I hope wherever you are that you're having a great day. While we're in studio, we can look out the window, and it is a absolutely gorgeous, perfect fall day. Why? I love the fall. So whether you're outside doing some running or inside on a treadmill or maybe you're on your commute to work, I hope that you're doing well and having a great day. Today in this podcast, we want to examine something that millions of Americans and millions of Christians actually celebrate every fall at the end of October, and that celebration is Halloween. There are always questions about how should the church relate to Halloween, and you can Google up stuff on the church and Halloween or Christianity and Halloween. You're going to get a lot of websites. One that I was looking at is called wanderopolis.org, and I found it very interesting that they report in the United States and Canada, Halloween is one of the most commercial holidays of the year. People spend billions of dollars on candy, costumes, pumpkins, and decorations every year. And when you stop and think of it in that regard, it's a commercial holiday, much like Valentine's Day or much like Christmas might be, Mother's Day. And I suspect that the money spent on Halloween does not compare to those holidays, but something that has that type of economic impact is something that we as people of faith should think about. Christmas, of course, is a distinctly religious holiday with cultural folklore that accompanies it. Often Christian people will bemoan the over-commercialization around Christmas, even though most do participate in gift exchanges, decoration, and some of the playful myths that we have around that time of year. But from time to time, in my experience, questions come up about Halloween. Is it just a fun, playful time? Or is there really a more serious, insidious evil that is involved and is trying to permeate our lives? So with me today in studio is my friend and colleague, Pastor Stephanie Greenwald. So, Pastor Stephanie, how are you today? What are some of your initial thoughts on this?
Well, hi. I'm so glad to be here with you again today. It's always fun to be with you in studio. I think it's a little funny that your transition from insidious evil went from that to Pastor Stephanie Greenwald. Hoping there's not a connection.
She works with the Christian embodiment of evil.
Oh, that was funny. That was a good turnaround. But I am really excited about this podcast because, first of all, because it's October. And everybody loves October.
My favorite month of the year.
It is your favorite month. We were talking about that the other day. It's a great month because it is Pastor D.A.'s birthday month.
Well, that's the icing on the cake. But, you know, baseball, the playoffs, and the World Series, and beautiful weather, and, of course, the fishing is outstanding this month.
Yes, exactly. It's just a great month all around. But the really best thing about October, the best thing about October is pumpkin spice.
I had a feeling that's where we were going.
It is definitely true. And really, the best thing about every month of the year is chai latte. But for October,
you have to have a little pumpkin spice. You need some diversity in your life.
It's some good stuff. So other than Halloween, we get to enjoy pumpkin spice.
Do you give out pumpkin spice goodies on Halloween?
Oh, I should know because I can't bake.
I mean, there should be like little flavor packets or something.
That's a great idea.
Candy for the kids, little pumpkin spice for mom and dad.
You could market that. That's a great idea.
Well, so jumping into our topic on Halloween, let's just kind of think about what our experiences have been. And so what was Halloween like for you growing up? Mm-hmm. Both of us grew up in the church. Did you ever hear any protesting about Halloween? Did your church have a Halloween celebration or party of any kind? I mean, just kind of share your experience with our listeners.
You know, many of our listeners know that I am a PK. I'm a pastor's kid. And so I was at the church all the time. And on Halloween, I was at the church all the time. And It was interesting growing up because in the church I was in Kansas City, we actually, every Halloween, October 31st, it wasn't a few days before or a few days after, it was always on the 31st, we would trick-or-treat for UNICEF, which I thought was fun. I remember having the little boxes and going around the neighborhoods and trying to gather up as many coins as we could gather. And honestly, you know, I didn't do any trick-or-treating other than that because that's what we did every Halloween. So
I grew up, I remember doing trick or treat for UNICEF also, but some of our listeners may not know what that is.
Yeah.
Can you explain that?
I absolutely can. It was a great organization that would help with kids in need. And so we're just raising funds for kids in need. I wish I could tell you that I remember what
it stands for. I was
going
to say it's an acronym
for something.
Children's Education Fund.
Yeah. I'm not sure either. But I remember as a kid when I started to really understand that we were helping people that night, that was really something special for me because as having a dad for a pastor, we always were pretty careful about how we celebrated Halloween.
Right.
And I know we're going to go into some of the history of that here in a minute, but dad was always really good to help us understand the history of Halloween and All Saints Day and things like that. And so it just had a different meaning, I think, for me as a kid. You know, growing up. What about you, though?
So did you wear costumes when you went trick-or-treating for
UNICEF? Yes. In fact, I remember why I remember this year, I don't know, but I think everything was going wrong this particular year. And I was
That's why you remember
that's probably true. I think I was probably in second or third grade, and I dressed up as Barbie.
Oh, my.
The funny thing was, though, I had to wear a mask because I didn't look like Barbie. And so I had to wear a mask of Barbie. And then I remember having this pink dress, and I was so excited. But then my brother was dressed up as some superhero, and he was really upset that night, and we were fighting a lot. Mm-hmm. And I kind of remember going from door to door, like, saying, trick-or-treat for UNICEF with a smile on our faces. And then we'd walk away, and he and I would
punching
be fighting
each other,
all the way to the next house. That was pretty much what happened that day.
Right. So I was wondering if you had a little pink Barbie car that you drove around.
Oh, I needed that.
Malibu Barbie there in Kansas.
I could have totally digged that. Yeah. But so tell me about you growing up.
We did. Our church also did the trick or treat for UNICEF thing. Mm-hmm. And again, we would just kind of go door to door around our neighborhoods and, you know, had that little box that they could put coins in.
Yep.
And so we believed we were helping. That's the thing I remember the church did. But beyond that, you know, my childhood was spent in a small town.
Yeah.
I think most people here at St. Andrews know that I grew up in Frederick, Oklahoma, down in the southwest part of the state. And Halloween in Frederick was always an interesting time because as a kid, you were wanting to go trick-or-treating. You needed that candy. You wanted that candy.
Right.
And occasionally you might go to somebody's house. And I just remember, you know, I had one friend, and right across the street from his house, that woman actually made popcorn balls.
Oh, right.
You know, and
yes.
It's like, wow, you got to go to that house.
Go to that house.
That's bigger than a little, you know, Hershey bar or something.
Right, exactly.
It's like there was this cultural stigma that you only went trick or treating until you were in sixth grade.
Okay.
And when you were in the seventh grade, you didn't go trick or treating anymore. And so for young teens, we were being influenced by the peer, I don't want to call it pressure, but kind of the social peer influence that Halloween was a night of mischief.
You
would hear people talk about doing destructive things.
Yeah.
They would go around and egg houses and egg cars, usually of people they didn't like.
Right.
They would turn over trash cans, so trash spilled all over the street or the alley.
Yeah.
And, of course, there was probably some innocent toilet papering of houses,
right,
you know.
Sure.
So it was mischief. It wasn't all harmful, but some of it was. And so I remember growing up that Halloween was fun when you're a kid and you're going trick or treating.
Right.
But you had to get that done early because bad people came out after dark,
right,
and they would do these things. And of course, as you get a little older, you begin to be taught that you don't go to somebody's house where they're handing out popcorn balls or apples because you would just hear the terrible stories about somebody put a razor blade in an apple or they put, you know, clothespin. Well, not a clothespin, a pin you would find in clothes when you buy a shirt or something.
Right.
You know, some people might actually lace, you know, candy with drugs.
It's so sad.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, this thing as a kid that was celebrated as something fun, mm-hmm. it started to shift, and it was kind of, you have to have a warning label for this. I mean, by the time I got in high school, you started to hear of hospitals like, you can bring your candy and they'll run it through the x-ray machine to make sure there's nothing harmful in
there.
Terrible.
And
so that's, you know, let's trick or treat for UNICEF. That money's all going to
It's going to something good. Well, and it's so interesting you say that because growing up in Kansas City, that's really a lot of the reason we did not trick or treat, you know, there, because big city, and we always heard terrible stories about things that were happening, whether they were true or not.
Right.
You always wonder.
Right.
But it really did put that fear in your heart about something that was supposed to be fun. You know, it's just sad.
Yeah, it's very sad.
It really is. So tell me, when did you start thinking about the spiritual implications of Halloween? Because there's obviously this kind of fun, Americanized, commercialized version of Halloween
right.
that we celebrate. But really, we know that there's a little more to it than that. So when did that become a thing for you?
For me, it was when I was in college. I don't remember exactly, you know, second or third year, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And there was a Christian comedian back in the day, and I had a lot of his cassette tapes that I loved listening to because they were always funny, but they were also full of good spiritual truth. And there was a tape that this guy had done. It was called A Christian Perspective of Halloween. And I'm like, wow, I've never even thought of this. I've never done anything with this. But this guy's own testimony was one where he had been, he claimed to be involved in the occult and in Satanism.
Oh, wow.
And so my thought was, well, yeah, this guy's an expert. You go to a Christian bookstore and there's this tape and you buy it and it, you know, it's got to be true kind of thing.
Right.
And the sad thing was later this guy was debunked as a fraud.
Oh, wow.
And so it's kind of hard to know when I think back on the things I learned from that, how much of that was fact and how much of that was fabrication just to sell his tape to people. So over the years, I've kind of done some research, and some of what I remember him saying actually does ring true from a historical perspective. So how about you?
Yeah.
When did you start to consider those spiritual ramifications?
You know, I remember thinking a little bit about that in high school, and that's probably when I started asking my parents, you know, what is this? What is this really? You know, because it stopped being, let's get dressed up and go get candy. It was more of a, I thought a little more in depth about it. I think, too, another time I really started thinking about that was when Phil and I had kids, you know, when we first became
parents.
What
are we going to teach our children?
What do we tell them about this? Because, and I remember the very first year that we celebrated Halloween with them, it was Callie would have been, gosh, not even 2 years old. And Tori was a few months old.
Uh-huh.
And I remember I dressed them up as the lion and the lamb. We took that Christian twist on Halloween.
So were y'all like Mary and Joseph?
Right, I know. That's right, we should have been. But I do remember having those conversations with Phil, my husband, and thinking, okay, how do we help them understand what this is and what's age appropriate? You know, I think a lot of parents have that question, a lot of Christian parents. So anyway, so you mentioned the origins of Halloween and this guy with this tape and how you did a little more research on that. So can you share some of that information with our listeners?
Because I think that's absolutely. And they may know some of this and you may know more about these. And so please chime in. It's kind of a dangerous question for you to ask me because I love history and I can get lost in the details of history. So I've tried to keep this short, not get into some of the details. But most historians that I have ever read kind of trace the roots of Halloween back to an ancient Celtic festival. And the way I saw this pronounced was Samhain, which is a funny way to pronounce it because when you look at it, it's spelled Samhain.
So that's weird.
Samhain or Samhain or Salwash or you know,
whatever
it is. Today, Samhain is a holiday that is celebrated by Wiccans and by Druids as they mark what they call the darker days of the winter months or the darker part of the year. In other words, you know, as the daylight hours grow shorter and the darkness is greater, this is a holiday that they would be festive in because, you know, they have this kind of spiritual, ethereal interest.
Right.
And so it feeds into that. And so the celebrators of Samhain believe that the barriers between the physical world and the spiritual world actually break down during Samhain, during that celebration. Mm-hmm. And that allows more interaction between humans and spirits of another realm. Mm-hmm. That actually was some information I found on history.com. Mm-hmm. So again, people can research this themselves if they want.
Yeah.
But Samhain begins October 31st and ends November 1st. So that's the date of that particular day.
Yeah.
Of course, on the other side of the spectrum, the early Roman Catholic Church holds a belief that there is another realm where the spirits of departed saints may be.
Right.
And they're kept in purgatory. And so in their practice, they would pray for the souls of those who had died who may be in purgatory, that they would be able to go on and move into the fuller presence of Christ. And they called such a day when they would really recognize that All Saints Day.
People
might go to a service where they're lighting candles or remembering those saints who have transmitted the faith down to us. It's a very special kind of thing.
Special day.
And they used to celebrate that in May during the springtime. But in the 8th century, Pope Gregory III changed the date of All Saints Day from May 13th to November 1st, the day that Samhain actually ends. So All Saints Day is a time to remember those who have died, and it comes the day before All Saints Eve, or as all it's also called All Hallows Eve. And so the latter, All Hallows Eve, actually gets shortened to the word Halloween. So you've got kind of this pagan tradition and Christian tradition, and those things are then intertwined in people's thinking. Because of the date and because of the nature of it. Now, both of these holidays, Samhain and All Saints Day, have a focus on departed people that live in this ethereal, spiritual, invisible realm. And so the celebrants of Samhain would disguise themselves to hide from evil spirits. And as part of their practice, they might actually carry some kind of treat or goodie or cookie or something, so that if they needed to appease an evil spirit, they could give them that, but the spirit would not know who they were because they were disguised. And so you can see the roots of putting on a costume and giving out a treat. Pope Gregory, in moving All Saints Day to that same time, actually encouraged loyal Catholics to dress like saints while they were praying for their departed loved ones.
Interesting. So that's a really interesting connection, like you were saying, between Christian and pagan rituals. Okay, so that's really helpful to see that there's no real singular influence on this celebration. But what about other Christian traditions other than the Roman Catholic Church
This is where I have really had to redact my research because, I can get lost in the history of this. So let me just offer up a few. Of course, one source I read was talking about Martin Luther, the Catholic priest who was trying to reform or to revolt, depending on your perspective, from the Catholic Church. And when Luther actually nailed his 95 theses on the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany, he did that on October 31st. And some people think that was a symbolic gesture of his to protest against praying to the saints.
Right.
You know, that was a part of Catholicism that he was struggling with. So Luther has influence there. And then when we go across the pond to, you know, the colonies, the colonial Puritans, which again, they were that group that sought to purify the Church of England. So if they're starting their own kind of church and religious expression in the colonies, they wanted it to be pure. So they actually banned the celebration of Halloween. In some ways, take that with a grain of salt, because they also banned the celebration of Christmas and they banned the celebration of Easter, which are certainly the two big ones for us.
For us,
Over the course of Halloween, as you know, from colonial America through the Civil War era and everything, this was always going on. Halloween was generally a pretty tame time. It kind of lost the taste, the flavor, the seasoning of evil and cultic or occultic kind of things. pulling pranks was always a part of this, but that began to decline. Mm-hmm. And so by the start of the 20th century, the start of the 1900s, Halloween actually becomes a popular civic affair. Communities would have parades. They might have block parties. They would bring the community together to celebrate. Then we move forward halfway through that century, and by the 1950s, this is when the practice that we have today of trick-or-treating becomes widely popular. Mm-hmm. And most people that would trick-or-treat really didn't know anything about the Celtic traditions or the Catholic origins of this. Candy was given so that a costumed participant would not play a trick on you. Thus, it's trick or treat.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so they would give a treat to avoid the trick, was kind of the fun of that.
Uh-huh.
And so Halloween in the 50s here in the United States really began to take on a more cultural flavor that was void of any religious overtones. Probably your parents and my parents both, they kind of grew up in the 50s, young adulthood in the 60s. And so that's why maybe we didn't hear as much about it at first. But I think the billions of dollars that are spent on candy and decorations and costumes and parties and, you know, everything else, I think that's helped to perpetuate what most people in the United States experience today, that Halloween, I don't think we can divorce it or separate it from any cultic or even Christian practices.
Right.
There's always that spiritual aspect. But most people celebrating Halloween, it's just kind of a cultural fun thing to do. I mean, people like dressing up. People like having the fun of just picking what they're going to be, what their costume is. I was never Barbie.
Good to know.
I do remember one year I was a pirate.
Oh, yes.
And it rained that Halloween, so that was a tough kind of thing.
You needed your ship to sail away.
Absolutely.
So this is a lot of history, which I think is really helpful. I mean, really, we're talking 1,200 years of history. And just as kind of a recap, when talking about October 31st, there's pagan customs of wearing costumes, giving treats to ward off the evil spirits.
Correct.
Then there's the Christian traditions of honoring the saints who've departed from this world by dressing like them.
Right.
And then an increasingly market-driven day that seems to really combine several different roots into what some experience today. I find this really interesting that we tend in culture that things just change. They just morph and change. And a lot of us just do what we've always done, you know, we just continue to do what we've always done. And so many people don't know why things are the way they are.
Exactly.
Why Halloween came to be. And so I think this is really helpful to know both the pagan roots, which really, you know, there's danger in a little bit of that for us as Christians and delving into that, but also then knowing the Christian roots of it, why people honored those who had gone before them.
Exactly.
So that's just interesting. What else are your thoughts?
I absolutely agree with that. I think it's helpful. Again, in our generation, knowledge is power.
Right.
And so we want people to be knowledgeable that, you know, you can trace this back to a thing that is not good and pure and holy and honoring of God, but we can also trace it back to something the church has said that, you know, I think when we read Hebrews chapter 11, you know, those saints, some of whom were nameless, but they were martyred. So even today we can come to a relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
We want to celebrate that. It's not as heavily in our tradition as it is some other traditions, but nevertheless an important thing that I think is a part of our practice. And then, however, those things just kind of get convoluted and diluted and filtered out down through the ages.
Do.
And so people do something, but in their hearts, what they're doing is they're saying, you know what, it's just fun to dress up and go door to door. Or we have a member of the church one day that told me Halloween is her favorite holiday. And I said, you've got to tell me more about this. Why? And her answer was, I just love seeing how people dress up and how they come to your house, and I love to be able to give them stuff. And for her, it's just a fun thing.
It's about connection.
No spiritual influences one way or the other. But I believe all these things kind of lay a foundation for how Christians or how the church should acknowledge and celebrate this time of year. And I think this is something we're actually going to explore even deeper in our next podcast.
So I'm really excited about that. So friends, I hope that you will tune in again next week as we continue continue this discussion. And we're really going to look at how we as Christians ought to interact with this holiday. So I hope that you'll come back and listen to us again next week. We're so glad that you are with us and sharing your time with us. Hope that you have been blessed by it. Again, we would love to see you here at St. Andrews. And check us out online if you haven't been able to check us out on site yet. We'd love to have you visit us at saokc.org. You can check out our services there, our ministries, our missions. We've got some great things going on. So hope that you have a very blessed week, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.
We're so grateful that you joined us for today's podcast from St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. We're located at 2727 Southwest 119th Street, Oklahoma City. So if you live in South Oklahoma City, Moore, Norman, Newcastle, Blanchard, Tuttle, Mustang, any of the surrounding communities, we would love to have you join us for worship. Service times are 8:15, 9:30, and 10:50. We hope to see you soon.